Now, we're going to look at the second reading here in part 3. And it's a part, we're continuing, from the letter of James. The letter of James is a great example of Semitic wisdom. And very powerful. And James was worried. Certain people were taking Paul to mean justified by faith. Just say the words, I believe, and you're fine. James is saying, no way you're fine unless you change your life. You know, I'm all for faith and all that. You know, he's saying, he's a very practical man. I'm all, but it's inspired writing. You see? And so now he gives great practical judgment here. In this, James 2, 1 to 5. And it's inspired, you know, it's from the Holy Spirit. But he's saying, look, I'm no high-flown mystic like Paul, but I have advice for you from the Lord, and I'm inspired to write this to tell you. So you have to listen. So we do, and we do listen. My brothers, show no partiality. You see, the text says, as you adhere to the faith, it says, echete din pisti, have faith. You see? And the word for partiality is the word for sort of accept the face. Look at the guy. If he comes in well-dressed, looks sharp, you know, well, you're going to be very nice to him. Another guy comes in, he's kind of dirty, maybe limping a little bit, you know, and they both want you to help them figure out something or give your opinion. This fellow, the rich one, oh, you're great. This one, I don't know whether you... He says, that is a sin. That's not the way God treats us, you, because in God's eyes, we're all like this guy. None of us are rich, fat, and happy. No, we're here. And so, that's James. He's delightful, but he's tough. You know? My brothers, show no partiality as you adhere to the faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if you're going to practice your faith, don't kowtow to the big shots. That's, you know, that's a real temptation. Suppose you run Notre Dame or Holy Cross or Columbia University. And I come in. How do you do, Father? Fine, we'll stand right over there. And then a multimillionaire comes in. Oh, hello, how are you? Okay, you know, they need monkey on a, you know, they need la musica. You see? James is saying, you can ask for the money. I have no problem with that. But you treat these two the same. They are both Christ. That's what he's saying. Okay. You see? So, and our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, or as the text goes, our Lord Jesus Christ of glory. Okay. Now he gives an example. For if a man with gold rings on his fingers and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and the word there is synagogin, you know, your gathering, if he comes into your gathering, assembly, and a poor person in shabby clothes also comes in, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say, sit here, please. While you say to the poor one, stand over there or sit at my feet. You see, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil designs? You bet you have. You want this rich guy to like you. You here, poor guy, he can't do anything for you. But do you know what the Lord said about that? He told Catherine of Siena, I have placed you in the midst of your brethren so that you can do for them what you can't do for me. Love them of free grace, expecting nothing in return. That's a Christian. So you see what good advice this is, okay? Hard to put in effect because we're all so weak and so impressed with big shots, I guess. So the man comes in, you know, with gold on his fingers and, you know, flashy clothes. And a poor man comes in. You know, how do they translate that? It's here. In shabby clothes. and you pay attention to the one wearing fine clothes and say, sit here, please. And you say to the poor one, stand over there or sit down on the floor right here. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil designs? Sure you have. Why are you nice to the rich guy? Because you don't want him mad at you. He probably has connections with the police department. You know, you don't want him, you know, saying, give him, slipping a $50 bill to this cop and saying, give this guy a ticket next time he's driving his car. I don't like him, you know. That could happen in this world. In fact, it happens all the time in this world. James is saying, look, you're Christians. You don't do that. You just don't do that. And you can see when it happens, can't you? People can fawn all over somebody because they think he's great. No, because he's got la musica. And as the Italians say, tutti ballano alla musica. Everybody dances to the music, you see? James is saying, not you, you're Christian. Love everybody. Love the rich man. Help him get to heaven. And he might have a harder time of it because he's comfy. And help the poor man. But don't make distinctions. You see, partiality is the way the acceptance of faith, face, is the literal. Have you not made distinctions to become judges with evil designs? Listen, my beloved brothers. Did not God choose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? Yes. So have great respect for the poor. You know, St. Vincent de Paul was once giving the habit to one of those daughters of charity. They were just beginning, this young, lovely young girl wants to take the habit. And Vincent de Paul said to her something very profound. He said, Sister Miriam, you have a lovely smile. Keep smiling at the poor, and maybe one day they will forgive you for the food you give them. That's deep. How come I got food and you don't? How come I'm giving it to you and you're not giving it to me? Am I more worthy than you are? No. No. So maybe they'll forgive you for the food you give them. That's profound, isn't it? See, that's a saint and a mystic. Seeing the true reality. Because we should break our necks to serve the poor. That's Christ. I was hungry and you fed me. Don't you want to hear that? You know? It's just good business. And so, and the saints and the mystics, you see, saw that. And that's why, you know, Mother Teresa was once quoted as saying from the pulpit, talking about the poor. This was quoted to me. And she said, and the rich, they don't give a damn. I wouldn't want to fall under that condemnation from a saint, that I don't give a damn. I wouldn't help the poor. You see? And you're going to see here, he says after a while in this letter, you see, well, this is religion. You see, to care for the poor and the lonely and keep yourself unsullied by the world. Now that's the touchstone. That means we have to take seriously not only writing a check for the, whatever they call that now, the United Way. That's nice. But you see, pity looks to the need. Compassion looks to the person. And I learned that from a line, that's a quote actually, from Pope Benedict, the Pope John Paul II. No, I learned it before that. Because when I lived in countries where there was poverty, I told you this before, I kept coins in my pocket so I could give something to everybody. And when I gave it to them, I said, well, pray for me. You know? It's just God's providence that I'm giving you this money instead of you giving it to me. And so, pray for me. You've got pull. You're poor. And that's why I kept the money there. I mean, they weren't going to upset the stock market with what I gave them. But if we could meet as human beings, that's more important. And so, This is what James is saying, you see. Have you not made distinctions, you see? Did not God choose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? So there's a certain advantage in not having lots of stuff, because we rely on it. You know, the vase breaks, so I can go buy another one tomorrow. And we don't even acknowledge, Lord, do you want me to buy another one? Maybe I should be that dependent anyway. Maybe I don't need a vase. Maybe I should take that money and give it to the guy down the street who's broke. In other words, how many psalms speak of this, huh? He gives to the poor, the righteous man, the tzaddik. You see? Because in that remark of St. Vincent de Paul, how come I'm giving you money rather than you giving me money? It's all God's disposition. It's not anything else. And so James is trying to get that point home to us, you see? So it starts with this idea, love the rich. Be friendly and open with them. They need salvation as well as anybody else. Just don't fawn on them. And because not only do you degrade yourself, but you mix them up. They think now they're somebody because they have money. But how many psalms say, you know, what are you going to do with that money when you die? Take it with you? No, you're not. I remember there was a rich man, I heard about him. He lived up in Haifa, and he was dying, and he called all his sons around, and he said, now when you bury me, I want you to leave my hands outside the coffin so that the whole world can see I didn't take it with me. That's the way they think. Well, it's true of everybody. So, you see, make friends with mammon by using it well, so that when you die, the poor will receive you and escort you into heaven. It was a big mistake. I understand that there was no government support of the poor until the Protestant Reformation. It was all the church. The church did it all. You see? And now we leave it to the state. Now, I'm not saying, you know, good, just care for the poor on the part of the state is a very beautiful thing. It's inspired by the love of Christ, whether people know it or not, unless, and here's the hitch, if I am angry and I'm helping the poor because their poverty is bothering me, that's not love. If I'm helping them because their poverty is bothering them, that's different. But if I'm going to change this world and be the savior because this disgusting situation bothers me, look out. That's Solovinsky. Look out. That's not really helping the poor at all. That's playing savior based on your anger and your pride. To serve the poor means to serve. Be the slave of the poor. We just had, some months ago, the feast of Damien of Molokai, who became a leper with the lepers physically. And now he's in heaven rejoicing with them. Amen.